spoke to Abraham and he said to Abraham, I want you to begin to call those things that are not as though they are. He didn't ask him to have that kind of faith. He didn't ask him to have those kind of faith when everything had come together. He said it right after. He said, Abraham, believe that you are the father of many nations. He was asking him to activate the spoken word of God into his life. He began to speak and he said to him, Abraham, I've called you to be the father of many nations. Look up to the sky and count the stars. It's impossible. And that's when he began to speak. But you need to call those things that are not as though they are. Son, you need to rise up into the faith level that I'm calling you to go to. See, this morning I want you to understand that besides your salvation, as I was praying this week about what to minister to, besides your salvation and you coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and deciding to live a life that follows and acknowledges Him, the greatest thing your next challenge is at war at your testimony. Because your testimony will be your next greatest move with God. So I wanted to speak life back into some people this morning. Every battle, every war, every mountain, every valley, every storm, every wilderness that you are facing is not facing you because of your weakness. It's facing you because it can sense the testimony is about to come. It can sense that you're on the verge of seeing the hand of God. So the enemy doesn't have many tactics. He just keeps using the same ones. But he does know the spirit of anticipation and expectation. And he knows that your story is coming to hand. He knows that you're about to release a testimony. The only thing that threatens the enemy is your testimony. Because when you and I are all gone from this planet Earth, your testimony will remain. Can someone give me a mighty amen? When we're all lived out, the four corners of this building, ICC will be known for the testimony and the legacy that it left on this planet, amen? And children that are not even born are going to be coming to this house and seeing a harvest in their marriages and seeing a harvest in their family because of who we were, because of our testimony, because of what we never let go of, not because of what we are now, but because of our testimony. See, Psalm 100 says, come into His gates with thanksgiving, but go into His courts with praise. When can you praise your God? When there's something to give Him praise about. But see, you in your praise, when you get excited, is because you know your testimony is coming together. You know when you want to give a testimony because God is good, because He's done X, Y, and Z. But God says, I want you to come into My courts with a praise ready. See, the enemy knows that the closer you get to His courts, the closer you get to His presence. And the closer you get to His presence, the more praise will come out of you. Come into My gates with thanksgiving, but you come into My courts, into My presence, with a spirit of praise upon your life. With a spirit of praise. I don't have it yet, Jesus. Call those things that are not as though they are, woman of God. You can come into My presence, come into My courts, because you've got a praise report to give. And I completely believe that by the end of this year, we are supposed to see testimony over testimony over testimony. I believe that this house is going to have to begin to include full Sundays of testimonies because we cannot keep them silent. There's going to be entire Sundays where that is the only thing we're going to do is worship and testimony. Worship and testimony. Because the power of your testimony will transcend everything that is in the natural realm. And can someone say amen? Because I can hear what the things of God has said. And it's going to go to the nations that you and I will never step foot on. But on this platform, we will give God all the glory. We will give Him all the praise. And we will say, my God is good because I've seen His faithfulness. My testimony is the strongest thing that I have. And God wants me to see every promise that He spoke to my life, every promise that He spoke to me, every promise that I'm holding on. He's like, don't give it up. It's bigger than you, but it's coming to pass. It's bigger than you, but it's still coming to pass. It's my testimony. It's my testimony. I want to read to you in Mark chapter 5. I read this a couple of weeks ago when I was on the pulpit. How big have been the sermons that Tawana's been bringing? Amen. When was the last time you heard a communion service like that? Amen. I love the fact that this church, we go down and we give it good. We give it mighty meat. Amen. We don't let you just take communion. We'll make sure you know what you're doing, because it is so powerful what you do. When we do it every Sunday, when we take that communion, when you take that into your households. Speaking of tongues literally has changed as I've got it on. I love the fact that I can go and listen to great evangelists, but I can actually go to my own house and hear some of the greatest words. Mark chapter 5, I spoke about this, but I read it from Luke's point of view. Luke was a doctor, so he just says it as it is. Didn't give it. Mark actually opened it up a little bit, so I think that Mark might have had some feminine side of him. Maybe he had a lot more women in his life, because he explained it a little bit better, a little bit more intense. He was used to it. This is when Jesus said to the boys, come on, when I go to the other side. They just seen so many miracles. They seen so many testimonies coming out. They seen blind people healed. They seen lepers come to life. They'd see the multitude being fed. And then Jesus says, well, let's go to the other side. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. He had not been chained, for he had been often chained by hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and he broke the irons off his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stone. I love that sentence when he cried out. He cried out and cut himself with stones. You know, one of the greatest things in mental health is young people cutting themselves and they think it's something new. I told you, the enemy has nothing new. He's been doing it for years, just bringing it back into every generation. The amount of young people that are cutting themselves. Read the Bible, it was already there. God already knows how to deal with it. God already knows how to deal with it. He cried and cut himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. And he shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, come out, this man, you impure spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? And the spirit spoke back. Let's say this clear, not the man, the spirit. My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. And a large herd of pigs were feeding in a nearby hillside. The demon begged Jesus, not the man, the demon begged Jesus, send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them. And he gave permission and the impure spirit came out and went into the pigs. Listen to this. The herd was about 2,000 in number. There was 2,000 pigs, and the one demon went into 2,000 pigs. There's a lot of demons in one person. They rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went to see what had happened. When they came to see Jesus, they saw the man that had been possessed with legions of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. Can someone give me a mighty amen? And they were afraid. Those who had been told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well, and the people began to believe that Jesus leave the region. Now, I spoke to you a few weeks ago and I brought it to your attention that when the demons saw Jesus, he addressed Jesus by his position. He shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus? Jesus, Son of the Most High God. The first person to address Jesus at his highest point of authority was a demon. Can someone say a mighty amen? The first person, Jesus had not even been addressed by his own disciples who had witnessed these miracles. The first people that addressed Jesus at his highest authority, the Son of the living God, the Son of the Most High God, was a demon, because he knows the authority of presence he was in right there and then. Every demonic thing that is coming at you understands when you're walking in your authority. The very first person. Even in Mark chapter 1, it says there was a man, listen to this, there was a man in the synagogue. Where's that? In the church. Ishka. There was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out saying, "Let us alone, for what are we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? For I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." I know who you are. Every illness, every sickness, every demonic stronghold knows the power of God, knows the presence of Jesus when we're walking in it. Someone give me a mighty amen. And they addressed him from that very position. Son of the Most High God. But what I want to bring you to the point is, in both stories, when the spirit, the demon, saw him, the Bible says he yelled. He saw Jesus from a distance. He ran and he fell on his knees in front of him. Just hold on, ICC. Listen to what it says. When he saw Jesus, the demon saw Jesus in a distance, he ran to Jesus and he fell in front of him on his knees. What was he doing? Getting into the bowing of the presence of worship. The demon, at the first sight of Jesus, ran towards him and fell at his feet. A demon fell at his feet and begins to worship. The only thing you fall on your feet to is what you're worshiping. The only things you're going to fall on your feet to is what you're worshiping to. And the demon fell at his feet, ran to Jesus. I want to tell you, whatever you are fighting will bow to the presence of the Savior that is living inside of you. When sickness comes and presents itself, you need to bow. You're in the presence of my healer. You need to bow. You're in the presence of my healer. And I'm about to walk in the anointing of healing. It will bow. Cancer needs to bow at the name of Jesus. Leukemia needs to bow at the name of Jesus. Whatever that name is, tell it to bow. Because it recognizes it. It recognizes your anointing. It recognizes your story. It recognizes your power. It recognizes that you are a woman or a man of God. It needs to understand. Everything that has come up against you that is not in alignment with the things of God, the things that God has called you, tell it to position itself in its rightful authority on its knees. Tell it, take your position in my life at the feet of my Lord. Take it. And the Bible says immediately a conversation goes in between Jesus and the man that was possessed. There's a conversation that happens. They start to work out, how do I get out of this situation? Jesus is here. He's the Son of the Most High. We're going. We're done. Let's come up with a plan B. Who knows? The enemy only operates on plan B. Because he can't attach himself to plan A. Because if you and I are walking in our plan A, that is destiny and purpose. That is it. So he only operates. So the enemy is sitting there and he's working out, what can we do? We didn't expect Jesus to come. They don't expect you to come. They don't expect you to come with your healing faith. They don't expect you to come and say, I hear what you're saying, but I'm expecting Jesus to heal me. I know what you're saying, but I'm expecting Jesus to recover me. I know what I'm going through, but I know that Jesus has got a plan for me. See, when I said to God, when I heard about the abortion that got passed, that in New South Wales, we now can kill a baby at 5.5 months old. And they decided, the law decided to take off a commercial from our TVs in preparation for Father's Day that actually proved scientifically that a heartbeat starts at 4 weeks. And they said, no, we don't want to offend the people, so we're going to take that off. So I said to God, how do we do this? So the two things that God showed me that we need to do is we need to start saying and believing. And you know what, Jim, you prophesied it this morning. I don't think anybody else heard it, but I was like, he said, you start praying for the women of God to start having godly babies in your house, amen? And as we start to have godly babies in our house, we're going to say there's purpose and destiny over your life, amen? Can I hear a mighty amen? So that the abortions that come, actually there's no need for abortion because there's only women of God that are coming forward and going, I'm raising this child with hope and a purpose and a destiny, so I don't need an abortion. The second thing is, let's bring the adoption laws into Australia. So that everyone that comes through, let's tell them there's an adoption. There is people that are willing to love your children. Come on, ICC. The enemy thinks he's won. No. No, you don't get this. You don't get it. God is always going to be in control. So we rampage for adoption. That we will take these children in and we will love them as our own and we will raise them up in godly households and we're going to listen to the people of God. So these children are worth the living God that they serve. And can someone give me a mighty amen? The battle and the storm that you're facing is never about God or Satan. It's always about who's occupying you. The battle you are facing is never about God or Satan or the enemy. Never. Because God has won. Amen? There's never a battle. The only one who wants a rematch is the one who keeps losing. The one who keeps winning is no worried about it. We don't have to redo this match. That's why Jesus is like, I don't care. We've won. We won. I just got to make sure my kids understand we won. God isn't needing a rematch. But the enemy is. Battle is always about what is occupying you. The storm is fighting you. The storm is fighting the God that you are determined to see come through. The storm is fighting you to say, do you believe what God has spoken? When he went to Eve, he questioned Eve and he said, are you sure that's what God said? Are you sure you heard right that God said you can't eat? He wants to question, are you sure that God said, I will use your marriage and your children and your family? That business belongs to me and I'm going to make it flourish. Are you sure? But God, can't you see my business is going down? But didn't I say it's going to flourish? The enemy's just fighting you. Are you willing to hold on what God has spoken? The battle is never about who's winning because the battle always belongs to the Lord. That's what the Bible says. But I need to give it to him. I need to give it back to him. See, my job as a pastor in this house is to lead you to a point that whenever you're in a battle, you know your position in God and that you will live your life from that. That's my job. My job is not necessarily to carry every storm that you're going through. It is to teach you and to walk with you, to go, we are in a position of authority to cast this out. That's what we're here to do. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. And that's where it's got to stop. The storm isn't fighting me, it's fighting my testimony. See, Matthew chapter 10, this is when Jesus has called all of his disciples. He decided who the 12 disciples were. He went and called them each. And he called them all by name and he said, he gave them the power over unclean spirits to cast them all out, to heal all sicknesses and disease. And in verse 7, he says this. He says to his boys, he says, I've chosen you. I want you to be disciples. I want you to go out. I want you to go and preach the gospel and tell everybody that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But listen, it doesn't stop there. He said, I want you to preach the gospel. Preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. Where is it hand? This is my hand. And he's saying, boys, I want you to tell them that the kingdom of God is in their hands. The authority that the kingdom of God operates is in their hand. I want you to go out and preach that truth. But he doesn't stop there. He says, then go out, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Can someone give me a mighty amen? He said to the boys, I want you to preach the kingdom of God. I want you to preach the promises of God. But then I want you to go tell them, have a testimony. Because if preaching was good enough, he would have said, I just want you to preach the gospel. But he said, I want you to preach the gospel. Then I want you to go heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Because he said, I want people not only to hear, but I want them to walk in their miracle that they're believing for. I want you to begin to tell them, you can know the word of God, but you've got to walk it out. Can someone say a mighty amen? Your testimony is your greatest story. When you are gone, your testimony will live on. Jesus said, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then go and get the testimonies. Go get the testimonies. Go heal the sick. Go cleanse the lepers. Go raise the dead and go cast out the demons. Go get your testimony, boys. Go get your testimonies, because that will sustain everything that the enemy brings forth. Go out and preach and then show them your authority. Go out and preach and then show them your authority. Tell them, my God will supply all my needs. Watch how he does this. He said, right there and then, go out and preach. Because you know what? God is not worried about his word. Come on, are you here with me? He's not worried about it. He knows 100% his word is going to work. That's what he said when the boy said to him, Jesus, how do we pray? He said, you pray like this. This is simple. It's easy. It's easy done. You pray like this. You first acknowledge who I am. My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I worship and sovereign Lord that you are. That's it. First sentence. You acknowledge who your God is. The second thing he said is that you pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. He's saying you preach and you pray like this. The kingdom of God is at hand right now. God is not afraid of his things not coming to pass. He's like, you bring me your crazy stories and watch me fulfill them. That's why he said, you pray the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. He's saying, you know what? Because when the earth begins to lift up faith-filled prayers and says, the kingdom of heaven, I need you to come and meet with it. When the kingdom of heaven meets my situation and takes over the dominion of my life and the heaven's life comes in and they collide, I can know I can operate in a dominion that's from heaven and not from this earthly being. Can someone give me a mighty amen? My business doesn't run on the earthly thing. My business runs because the domain of God is operating in my world. The dominion of God, the word kingdom. Pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. The word kingdom means king's domain, where the king is in full authority. It's the place where the King of Kings has his full authority. So when his dominion touches the disease on my body, disease needs to leave. When the dominion of him touches my fear and anxiety, fear has to yield in Jesus' name. When the dominion of my God touches my family will see the promises of God. There needs to be a colliding. That's why Jesus said, pray that his kingdom comes, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because that's why Jesus said, I want you to preach the gospel, and then I want you to go out and get your testimonies. I want you to start healing the sick. I want you to start raising the dead. And I want you to start casting out the demons. Because you can. So you know when that scripture is, when we're reading that? It says this. That when Jesus had healed the man, the demon possessed, and released it, let's go back to that first scripture. It said, they asked him, what is your name? And it went out and he said, he begged Jesus again, don't send me. Listen to what it says. Jesus asked him in verse 9, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again, do not send me out of this area. He wanted to remain in the area because your area is your place of influence. He wants to stay in the vicinity of your family. He wants to stay in the vicinity of your school. See, because if he can break you, he can then break your family. He wants to stay in the area because he knows your greatest testimony will influence your entire region. That's why he was saying, just let us leave this man, but don't take us out of the area. And when they realized that when he left, 2,000, can you imagine? They came out of one man, but they were released into 2,000 other people. The enemy knows your power of influence. He knows your power of influence. But the Bible says that the entire town and countryside, people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man. They saw the man. They saw the man. You can't deny what you've seen. Come on, ICC. You can't deny what you've seen. I know I can hear a story that's probably third or fourth hand gossip, but I know what I've seen, amen? You can't tell me. I know what I see. I saw a man who was demon possessed, that chains couldn't hold that person down. And now I saw that man sitting clean in full conversation. I saw him. The Bible says, Mark says, dressed and in his right mind. Dressed and in his right mind. See, but do you understand here is the Word of God says that when the Spirit left, the entire town and the entire countryside, I want you to understand that the entire city came out to see what did Jesus just do in that place. Can someone give me a mighty amen? You need to understand that the entire city is going to come and say, what is happening at that church? Because I hear that people are walking in with cancer and coming out with praise reports. I can hear the businesses that are shutting down with bankruptcy, but they're walking out with a praise report. What is happening? The city is going to come out and not look at us, but saying, what can I see is going on in that place? The entire city came. Those in the regions, from the countryside, they all came, they left to go, and I need to see it for myself. Your testimony is at war. Your testimony is at war. The enemy's saying it's never going to change. It's never going to happen. This is it. Just settle down. Get comfortable. But I'm here to tell you that your testimony is going to be heard. Your people are going to know you. Your great, 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 great grandchildren are going to talk about a grandmother and a grandfather that used to pray every week, every morning. They're going to say, I don't know, but they used to take communion, and we used to take communion, and we would just see things happen in our household. Children don't need to understand. They just need to see the testimony. Because you know what's going to happen? Kids are going to be like, I don't know what we really did with taking communion, but I noticed that when my mom and dad would take communion, we would see the hand of God move. So I'm going to just take communion and see what happens with me. Can I hear an amen that I need to know? And then by the Word of God, the Christians that are around them will teach them what the power of communion is. The entire city and countryside came to see with their own eyes what they had heard. Your testimony is what is at war here this morning, church. Your testimony is what is it. You know what that means? Businessmen came out to see what had happened. Other family members had come to see, because he would have been someone's son. He might have been someone's brother. His own family came to see him. Children came to see him. Doctors came to see him. The Bible says that the entire countryside came. Doctors would have gone, I know that man. I saw him. And now he's sitting, dressed and in his right mind. Everybody came. Businessmen, family members, children, doctors, people that were suffering in the same situation, came and saw what Jesus had done. Church, our testimony is at war this morning. The enemy wants you to shut down your testimony. He can't shut you down, but he's sure going to try to shut down your testimony. And that is why the enemy said, let us leave this man, but keep us in the same area. Let us stay in this area. The word territory means this. The Bible says that he begged them to send them out, but to leave them in the territory, the area. The word territory means an area of land under official power to to make a legal decision, giving the owner of that land full power and rights of authority to its entire extent. So the enemy was saying, I'm leaving the man, but I'm not leaving this region. I still want full legal rights in this region. That is why we need to take communion, like we were taught last week. We need to seal what Jesus did and declare, my healing is here. My marriage is restored in Jesus' name. I'm not telling you, enemy, to leave my house. I'm telling you to leave my generations. It stops here. You're out of this territory. You're out of your legal rights right now. You're out of your depth, enemy. I'm going to speak the promises of God over my life. Who is occupying your territory this morning? We think that this is funny. We think that the enemy, you know, there's a lot of churches that say we don't want to use those Christian. We don't want to talk about the demonic. It's a bit confronting. 2,000 came out of one man. And we don't want to offend people. Well, the last thing I realized that the law was offending me when they told me that a 5-month-old is not worth living. So I'm not afraid to speak about the demonic. Because I know that if I can let one person be free because of my testimony, I know I can hold a whole generation. Imagine just this small church if we all stood up and received our testimony. Let's all stand to our feet this morning.